This hour by Frederick Remington, fully cooked, ready-to-eat bacon. Exclusive, no refrigeration, 10-year extended shelf life bacon. The thickest media center-cut bacon in the industry at fullycookedbacon.com.
Crack a smile.
Government might shut down, and meanwhile in New Jersey, an emergency alert really upsetting New Jersey cable viewers. What is going on? Cosby retrial possibly imminent. Kate Delaney, America Tonight. Let's start first with the most important thing. Is your government going to be shut down? Is the government going to not be there for us in a matter of days? Well, here's the answer to that pretty tricky question. The answer to the question is this. So the House comes together, they get it done. Meanwhile, different story when we're talking about the Senate. And it looks like Senate Democrats are not going to help out the Senate Republicans. And if you do the math, that just doesn't work out, no matter how you add it up. All right, so this could be, I don't know. To me, it's devastating that we can't figure this crap out. Sorry, again, to be explicit, I guess, in the use of that word, but to me, that's what it is. You pay these government officials, you pay these people to represent us, and they can't figure it out enough to not have all these stop gaps that they got to throw in. And it seems like every other year we're dealing with the same thing. So here's the bottom line. President Trump warned of this possible shutdown, even if he's lobbying whatever he can with the Republicans to try to avoid this funding debacle. It's not looking good. So let me give you some details of this. If the Senate doesn't come together and do this, this is the deal. In the event of a shutdown, federal employees for agencies considered non-essential, they got to stay home until a budget deal happens, at which point they're paid retroactively. So the most recent shutdowns, 95, 96, and 2013, 800,000 workers furloughed per day. So some of the key areas, Pentagon would remain operational, White House, Congress, State Department, but there's so much else that would go down. And the bottom line is this. There's too much back and forth with the Democrats saying, and they figured, I guess they'll gain leverage because they're insisting on a compromise that includes protection from deportation for the Dreamers, which is 700,000 immigrants that are water break brought into the country illegally as children. So nothing's happened there. White House Chief of Staff John Kelly met Wednesday with the Congressional Hispanic Caucus to make the case that Trump had evolved on the signature campaign promise to build a wall the length of the U.S. border. Is this thrown into this? I don't think so. I think it comes down to DACA. It comes down to the Dreamers. And it comes down to the Democrats not going to make that switch. So the number of illegal Dreamers is larger than they believe, than originally reported, 3.6 million. You can throw that statistic in the middle of all of that. So it's interesting. I'll tell you, boy, oh boy, it's just the craziest thing again to me, the fact that there's this strong Democratic sentiment to oppose the Republican budget bill, because I thought they had had a compromise, but apparently not. I mean, Chuck Schumer, you know, longtime senator from New York, is saying, yeah, this isn't floating. He said it's not good. And he's among the Dems in the chamber opposing it. And it's looking like overwhelmingly the numbers are not going to be there. There's been bipartisan talks, but bipartisan talks don't mean that it's going to happen. So again, it's looking like there is really a possibility of seeing a government shutdown. The House avoided the government shutdown. Now it's up to the Senate. The clock is ticking. Maybe. But for right now, tick, 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 tick. That's what I'll say. All right. I want to jump in a different direction in talking about something else that happened that I think is just so crazy, because I had no idea. And I thought a lot of times it was with young men. I know that I've got some people in my family that deal with this, but the ADHD thing, the number of young adult women apparently medicated for it has skyrocketed over the last decade. I just saw a new report from the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, and the report points out that the women are, are of an age where they're mostly in their 20s and in their early 30s, and they say the good news is that adult women are finally getting diagnosed, but the bad news is that they're struggling with this, and they're trying to figure out the answer of why is this? What is it the rise in the diagnoses in childhood, what's spiked this so much, and then what we're seeing with prescriptions too, because this is partly how they're getting these statistics or figuring this out. But obviously, I think it's that we have such a fractured world where devices were all over them. I mean, I can be as guilty as anyone else, where my head is going in 10 different directions. And how often do we hear people say that they feel like they might have it? And part of that reason is, I honestly think, because of, as much as I love technology, I think it's because of technology, partially, and not having the breather time, not having the down time to regroup, I guess, is the best way to put that. And that's affecting people. It's affecting how they feel. I think it's affecting how they feel, mentally, because you're fractured. And like I said, I'm that way in some senses. So maybe we shouldn't be surprised that that's what's happening there. All right. In the meantime, can you imagine you get this, again, urgent report, and you're sitting there, just like we saw in Hawaii, although that was a ballistic missile, but having your cable company send an alert, and is it real, is it not real, what is it? It's an emergency alert that in Morris County came 5 days after what happened in Hawaii, and they were jolted by the warnings of this emergency. So this false alarm, here's what the false alarm is. The false alarm that came across in New Jersey was flash flood warning until 2:30 p.m. Avoid these areas. And, they sent out a note afterwards saying that they apologized for the, they were conducting a routine emergency alert system test when accidentally the technical teams, they're investigating what happened, but accidentally, obviously, they went out through to the mobile phone devices and stuff, and it wasn't supposed to go out, and this was just a test. So these screwed up tests are jacking with us. The Hawaii thing is just the worst example, period, possible of that. But then to see that happen here in New Jersey, to have that happen too, I mean, absolutely crazy. And also, I'm going to give you just one last thing to think about, because I talked about Bitcoin. So quickly, I'm going to say this, give you an update of it. Somebody was talking to me today at the Forbes Summit. I'm in Charleston, South Carolina. Bitcoin rallied more than 30%, so it was briefly up to 12,000 in this wild, crazy swing. And I talked to Steve Forbes, who said he doesn't believe it's a currency and he doesn't believe it's going to go anywhere. And there's so many arguments about cryptocurrency. It's just wild. All right, stay with us. Much more coming your way on the flip side here on ATN.
My head is rolling like a movie reel and it's hard.
Non-attorney paid spokesperson. Could your house go into foreclosure? Are you behind on your mortgage payments? Does it seem like the bank has no interest in helping you save your home? And you feel like you have nowhere to turn for help? Then we have good news for you. Foreclosure Protection Services can help save your home, as they specialize in foreclosure assistance. That's all they do. If you're behind on your mortgage payments, being threatened with foreclosure, have been denied a loan modification, or been the victim of a predatory loan, it's critical that you call Foreclosure Protection Services now at 800-667-9035. Their network of attorneys and their agents are available to speak to you now. If you're behind on your mortgage payments, Foreclosure Protection Services can help stop the foreclosure process. Call today before it's too late.
New laws are in effect and may save your home. Call Foreclosure Protection Services now at 800-667-9035. 800-667-9035. That's 800-667-9035.
Fully cooked, ready to eat bacon. I'm talking thick, meaty, center cut, presidential bacon. Savory and delicious. I buy some, I use some, I store some. Awesome. No refrigeration needed with a 10-year shelf life. NASA pack technology. Bacon. Fully cooked, fully hydrated, ready to eat right from the pack bacon. Or warm and served. Life-saving, ready to eat bacon. 10-year shelf life bacon. Ships free at fullycookedbacon.com. Fullycookedbacon.com.
Are you happy washing your hands with harsh chemicals? Are you happy doing laundry with detergents? Are you happy paying high prices? Find your happiness with Pure Soap. These all-natural, earth-friendly Pure Soaps are the very best you've ever used. Buy in bulk. Get a 12, 36, or 48-month supply. Or get items individually and still save big. You're getting soap products twice as good as what you're using now. Earth-friendly and natural soaps. Your family deserves the best. Happiness is 5starsoap.com. Why not put your money up the drain for a change? See them at 5starsoap.com or call 1-800-340-7091 for a catalog. Cal Bend Soap Company can save you thousands of dollars and give you good old-fashioned real soaps that are triple concentrated. Soaps made from vegetable and coconut oils. See their full selection of soaps at 5starsoap.com. That's F-I-V-E starsoap.com or call 1-800-340-7091 for a catalog.
If you know Kate Delaney, then you know that her lovable golden retriever, Mahalo, makes her world go around. So when Kate started looking for a high-quality dog food for him, she settled on Life's Abundance, the all-stage grain-free food. It's rated 5 stars by Dog Food Advisor, and that's a win. In fact, Kate loved the food so much that she's now repping the food at kateskibble.com. It's full of high-quality protein and nutrients, omega-3s and more. Kateskibble.com is just what Mahalo needs to be happy and healthy. Grab a bag at kateskibble.com.
The sound of an earthquake, the rhythms that you make.
Boy, anytime I can talk about music, and anytime I can talk about music that was some of the great music, I'm all about it here on this show, as many of you know. Really pleased to be joined by Christopher Hill. He's written a book about rock and roll music in lots of different very famous publications, including Record Magazine, Spin, Downbeat, Deep Roots Magazine. I could go through everything, and it would take up this entire interview, so I don't want to do that. But he's also written a book called Into the Mystic, The Visionary and Ecstatic Roots of the 1960s Rock and Roll. Christopher, thanks so much for joining us on the show.
Thanks for having me.
What is it about the 60s? I love the title, Into the Mystic. You know, when I think of mystic and I think of 60s, they kind of go together, especially music-wise, because there was a huge transition then, right? A big transformation when it comes to music at that time period.
Yeah, there was. And the word mystic is, of course, appropriate to it, because for a while there, between, you know, some point in the early 60s and the end of the decade, many of these bands kind of moved away from the sort of basic rhythm and blues or soul music that they had been interested in playing before and began to get a little weird. And they began to experiment with different types of instrumentation, different types of ideas, and they began to think about different states of consciousness, you know, because they were, among other things they were experimenting with, psychedelic drugs at the time, too. So a lot of the sound and the subject matter became a lot more varied, a lot more interesting, and a lot of it had to do with the kind of concerns that people would call mystical or spiritual.
Absolutely. I'll tell you what felt really like I was in the middle of the 60s is the first time I went to Haight-Ashbury, and you talk about it in your book, The Acid Culture and the Culture of Hate. Of course, the Dead were probably the most famous, and you say this in your book, the most famous proponents, and gave the heirs of their mainline Protestantism an injection of inferiority like they hadn't had since the Romantic era. Wow, explain that. I love the way you put that.
Well, what I mean is that starting in the Haight-Ashbury district in California and in other neighborhoods, you know, urban neighborhoods around the world that were kind of similar to it, they began to experiment with different states of consciousness. Once again, a lot of this via the help that they got from psychedelic drugs like LSD and smoking a lot of marijuana. But what happened is that this idea of there being other states of consciousness other than the ordinary day-to-day normal one that we all use to get through the day, this became an idea that spread even without the use of these substances. People across America and really across the world began to be intrigued with the idea that there were many, many modes of consciousness and many perceptions that were blocked off to them in their ordinary daily consciousness. And I think that's the message that was the culture of the hate that I refer to. And I think that became sort of, I think that did affect sort of the consciousness of the whole world in a way.
So do you think that because of the nature of some of the music, like the Dead's the great example, is that why there's this nostalgia always to harken back to it, even for some younger people who aren't aware of some of the deep roots of what went on in the 60s and again, that transformation? I think there's an interest there. We're seeing college courses on it, et cetera. Do you think that's why?
Yeah, anybody who maybe just old enough to have experienced a bit of this firsthand will typically have the experience of a younger person saying to them something like, "Boy, I was born too late," or "I wish I had been born back then." And, you know, granted, looking back, it all looks like sort of one huge party, which in a sense it was. But it was also, like I said, there was also some really serious thought about, you know, what's the nature of human consciousness and can we work with it in a way that would just tend to make more people more fulfilled and more happy. And the Dead certainly had that ethos. You know, that was the point of what they were doing. You know, they started out being sort of the house band for Ken Kesey's acid tests back in like 65 and 66. But eventually they came into their own. And the story of their following of the Deadheads is, you know, that's when you talk about younger people who probably weren't there the first time around who want to participate somehow in the mystique of that era, the Deadheads are probably the classical case.
Boy, yeah, isn't that the truth? If you were to even compare a group today or a sound today, is there anyone that equals that you can think of off the top of your head?
Well, I'll tell you, I'll give a plug for a band I really like. The band that gives me the most pleasure of anyone making music right now is a band from the north of England, from Yorkshire, called Trembling Bells. Mm. And I recommend you all to go on YouTube and check it out, especially a song called Just as the Rainbow. Boy, I tell you, I get the same kind of chills from that you can get from like hearing Gracie Slick with the Jefferson Airplane. They have a wonderful female lead singer with a very big, powerful voice, and it's a little bit folk rocky, and it draws a little bit on the on English and Celtic stuff, but I find it very accessible and. And it rocks, and I would like to see more people enjoy their music.
Boy, no kidding. I love that sentiment. What was it like for you pulling this all together? Because it seems like, in reading it, it feels like it's so your passion. Was it hard to pull this all together? I mean, you're a prolific writer, but in trying to take this kind of a theme and really nail it, which I think you did, how tough was that?
Well, It just kind of, you know, you say pulling it all together, it kind of, it kind of fell together in a way that felt kind of natural, and which confirmed me in my hope that I was on to a true theme, a true topic here. Of course, I had been listening to this music most all of my life, so you could say the research went on for many decades. But as I started writing it, I had sort of an inkling of an idea what this was going to be about. But you often find, as you're working on something, as you're writing on something, that you really only find out what it's about after you've been writing for a while. And that definitely emerged from this, and I think I managed to find a theme that sort of runs through all of these very, very different kinds of musicians.
Yeah, and as somebody who lived through that, what was that like?
Well, it was great. I mean, I didn't run off to the hate or anything like that. You know, I was just out there in the Chicago suburbs, you know, in middle America. But you really one of the fun things at the time was that you really felt like with each new album that came out from any of these musicians, any of your favorite musicians, that you were really getting sort of like a message from headquarters about what was happening in the country and various responses you might have to it. It's kind of like, you know, the French Resistance before D-Day picking up these secret messages on the radio telling them to go blow up the railroad tracks and things like that. But anyway, it was that was lots of fun because it had sort of the fun of being in a secret society. And then the importance we accorded to that music was, you know, as high as we could have accorded to any kind of art form, any novels or movies or anything like that. It was really when a new Stones album came out that was, you know, that was the big deal at the moment, and everybody would be listening to it, and every party you went to would be playing it.
Oh, I love it. Perfect place to end this. Pick up the book, Christopher Hill, good stuff, Into the Mystic, love it. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you very much. My pleasure.
Hello, my name is Marjorie Wildcraft. I'm the founder of the Grow Network, which is an online community of people who produce their own food and medicine. We are really into backyard self-reliance. If you want this lifestyle, I suggest your first step be to learn some basic home medicine. Just the other day, my 18-year-old son came to me and said, "Mama, I got a sore throat. Can you fix me up?" And I said, "Sure, Ryan," and in about 24 hours, he was better. The best home medicine for you to start out with is garlic. It's an amazing natural antibiotic, and I can show you how to use garlic to handle ear infections, sore throats, colds, and flus. As a way for you to get to know a little bit more about me and the Grow Network, I've written up an easy introduction on how to use garlic. It's at gcnwellness.com. Now, the station manager told me that I needed to say the URL at least twice, even though it feels kind of weird. But if you're interested in backyard self-reliance, you are one of us. Go to www.gcnwellness.com and let's connect up.
You are listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Sometimes life can be a pain in the neck or back or shoulder. Long distance travel or long hours in front of a computer can take its toll on your body. Why take another pill? Treat your aches and pains with Sunshine Pillows. Microwavable heat wraps, heatable neck pillows, and extra large body heating wraps. Sunshine Pillows and wraps are designed better for perfect support where and when you need it, even while driving. Sunshine Pillows are designed with your comfort in mind, will not burn you, and will stay balanced on your body to provide soothing hot or cold therapy to treat temporary or chronic pain. And the best part, Sunshine Pillows start at just $20. Join hundreds of our happy customers and see why Sunshine Pillows has a lifetime 100% positive rating on both Amazon and Etsy. Click sunshine-pillows.com and take the Sunshine Pillow Challenge. That's sunshine-pillows.com.
Here's a special message for those of you who owe the IRS at least $10,000 or more in back taxes. The IRS has special programs in place that could eliminate or reduce your tax debt by thousands of dollars. Call the Federal Tax Management Helpline that has been set up for you, 800-503-8625. Stop the wage garnishments, levies, and tax liens now. Once you've qualified and enrolled, the IRS will stop all the collection activities against you. These unique programs have been allocated to help the economy and significantly reduce or eliminate your tax burden. The IRS is currently accepting reduced settlements and other favorable programs. You may qualify for substantial savings, so get the help you need. If you owe more than $10,000 in taxes, call for free information and to see if you qualify. Take down the number now for the Federal Tax Management Hotline, 800-503-8625. That's 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625.
People search the internet for everything, including you. With a few clicks, information from your past can be quickly discovered, from business deals gone wrong to misleading reviews, negative articles, and unflattering images. Studies show 78% of people search for someone online before doing business with them. Will they find the real you? With ReputationDefender.com, you can establish a positive internet presence. ReputationDefender.com pioneered the field with over a decade of experience, serving thousands of successful individuals and businesses. We use patented, award-winning systems to boost positive content and suppress negative material. Don't let the internet define you. Take control of your reputation today with ReputationDefender.com. For your quick, free reputation analysis, call 800-831-0771. That's 800-831-0771. 800-831-0771. Or visit ReputationDefender.com.
Show by Bill Catlett. He is the chairman, board of directors, and author of best-selling Contented Cows business book series. And I'll tell you what, we talk about the National Foundation for Transplants, and I have delved into this in my career as a television anchor and doing this radio show. Boy, I am passionate about this. So check out transplants.org and contentedcows.com, by the way. So Bill, thanks so much for joining us. We appreciate the time.
It's my pleasure. Fabulous story, and we need more people to hear it.
Yeah, absolutely. I was going to say, this is the gift-giving season, and what better gift than the gift of organs and how vital it is. So tell us about National Foundation for Transplants.
Sure. NFT, or National Foundation for Transplants, has been around about 33 years. It was conceived in Memphis by three women. Memphis is a relatively unheard of for most people medical center. And they were seeing a lot of people come to Memphis, you know, from out of the state, out of the country, to get transplants and other things. I mean, whether it's St. Jude or somewhere else. And housing was continually a problem for them. And one thing led to another. They started the organization, and, you know, 33 years later, here we are, dealing with patients all over the U.S. and, you know, as well as U.S. territories. And NFT exists really to serve those patients by removing barriers that delay or prevent life-saving transplants, you know, be the barriers financial, organ supply, or policy-related.
Bill, it seems to me kind of staggering to imagine a world where you wouldn't have a National Foundation for Transplants. It seems to me that if there wasn't one organization really serving those functions, that your odds of actually making this all work would be slim to none. I mean, this is, among other things, I imagine a huge logistical thing. And oh, by the way, I seem to remember that you worked for a company that did really well with logistics, so you seem like kind of a natural guy for the job.
Well, fortunately, we don't have to be responsible for all the parts and organs and getting them where they need to be, because that's a scary responsibility. But there's people who would do a good job of that. There's an outfit called UNOS, UNOS. It's a network for organ sharing. And they're pretty much the logistical barons of this industry, and they provide an awful lot of good information as well as taking good care of the inventory, if you will. I mean, what we do is work just a little bit more closely with patients to help them fundraise, which almost all of them need to do, whether they have insurance coverage or not, and also advocate for them, because there's some policies that we think need to be changed, and I'm probably one of the biggest ankle biters there is for organ donation, because we don't need to have 20 people die every day in the U.S. waiting on a donated organ. We've got enough organs, but they're not being made available.
Bill, what drew you to this? Because it's so important, and I've said this on my show many times. I've had people that have had transplants on in the decade I've been doing this particular show, and I am just amazed at the stories that I've heard, the personal stories that are so wonderful when somebody gets that transplant. What drew you to this cause?
I was initially drawn way back in the early days of the organization. I was then working at FedEx, as Greg mentioned. And one of the women who founded the organization reached out to Fred Smith, the FedEx founder, and said, "Hey, we'd like to have one of your executives on our board." And I felt this tap on my shoulder, and the next thing I knew, I was on the board of her. And I stayed on for a couple of years, rode off, and then 4 years ago, I was speaking at an event at the University of Memphis, and the speaker before me was the then president of NFT. And then we met, and one thing led to another, and she invited me to come back on the board, which I did, and then one meeting, we had our annual elections, and I wasn't quick enough to duck, and next thing I knew, I was the chairman of the board.
And I've met you, Bill. We met Kate at, Bill and I met at the Forbes Healthcare Summit. We're talking with Bill Catlett. He's the chairman of the board of directors of the National Foundation for Transplants. It's transplants.org. Also, by the way, the author of the best-selling business book series called Contented Cows. If you want to check that out, it's at contentedcows.com. But, Bill, you may have been tapped on the shoulder, and you may not have ducked fast enough to avoid getting the nomination. But I have to say, for anyone who has met you and spoke with you about this, it runs much deeper with you than that. You are an incredibly passionate, committed man when it comes to making sure that this job gets done and gets done as good as humanly possible.
Thank you. And yeah, it means a lot to me. It's not a... just a small part of my life. It's just every one of us is a car wreck or bad genes or a little bad luck away from needing that transplant. And I don't know very many people who don't have someone in their life, who's not a transplant patient.
So what would you want people to know, particularly during the holiday season as we go into the new year? I mean, this is the gift-giving season, as Kate said. The new year is a great time to make a resolution. What are things that people can do today to make sure that if they're ever in that terrible place where they could be a donor, the donation happens and happens swiftly so someone can benefit from them? And what do people who might need an organ, what do they need to know as well? What are the most important messages you can leave with us?
As for the prospective donor, you're right, this is the giving season, and my goodness, what better time than to give the present of life to somebody, and it doesn't cost you anything, and you don't have to give it right now, but by simply making the decision that, when my time comes, I can't take my organs with me, so let's make sure they're repurposed, for the benefit of someone that that can use them. And so go ahead and make that declaration. You can go online to our site at transplants.org and do it. But as importantly, don't just take that action. Sit down and talk with your close relatives and let them know how you feel about this, because the day may come when they have to be there and the doctor says, "Hey, we're getting ready to harvest an organ," and if that's the first time they've heard it, they might have a problem with it. I wouldn't blame them. I mean, as for the rest of us, or people who potentially would need an organ. I'm not going to offer medical advice because I haven't spent day one in med school, but I think that you have to go into that with your eyes wide open, and that's one of the things that our people try to do. And we've got a lady in our office who's oftentimes the very first person that someone talks to after they've been told, you need a transplant.
Hmm.
And they've got a lot of stuff, going through their head and their heart at that point. And she, in a reasonable period of time, tries to, work them through that and get on track with a process that, okay, how are you going to take care of you now that we've got this information? Because you've got financial needs, but you've also got medical needs. You've got some personal needs that need to be taken care of. And you've got to approach that just like any other problem in your life. And it's people go through it, as you're about to hear, and they can return oftentimes to a perfectly normal life.
Wow, which is so terrific. That's the greatest thing about that. And we're speaking with Bill Catlett, Chairman, Board of Directors, of course, the National Foundation for Transplants, author of best-selling Contented Cows business book series. What is different about the world of transplants? I've been covering this for a long time. What's new that people probably don't know?
Oh, my goodness. We're in the process right now of just taking stock of what's going on both in transplant land and within NFT, and I've got to keep it focused on the positive things. And let me just rattle through a couple of them. Greg and I were just at the Forbes Healthcare Summit in New York about 3 weeks ago, and I've been kind of nudging Steve Forbes for the last couple of years. Let's hear more about transplants. And lo and behold, we had two people there this year, Luhan Yang of eGenesis. And they're figuring out how to do pig-to-human organ transplants. Martine Rothblatt of United Therapeutics, who's pursuing regenerative medicine, where organs can be rehabbed and repurposed. I mean, think gas monkey garage for humans. And he wasn't there this time, but Dr. Anthony Atala at Wake Forest University, who's pursuing the manufacture of organs using 3D printers. I mean, how cool is that? Some new stuff for NFT. We broke some records this year. We assisted over 2,100 patients directly in
wow.
fundraising and some other ways. We had just two of them real quick. A little 9-year-old girl in Texas who was born with cystic fibrosis and needed a double lung transplant. I mean, double lung for a child that's hard. I mean, because you got to find an organ that's right sized in addition to tissue matching and all that. And then her parents had no health insurance, zero. And they were initially told that their raise was going to be about $1.5 million. And we partnered up with them, and fortunately the hospital was willing to take something less than that. They needed to hit about $700,000. And I tell you what, if I'm ever got my back up against the wall, I want her mom and dad on my side. They didn't take no from anybody.
And I bet if you ever need it, they will be on your side.
Yes, exactly.
They got it, and she, God bless her, she got her lungs. She's doing well.
Wow.
The second one was, we're all familiar with the hurricanes that ravaged Puerto Rico and other places, but about 10 days after the second one went through Puerto Rico, we got a phone call from one of our patients down there. He's a kidney patient. He's waiting on a transplant, and he said, look, I'm just about at the end of my rope. I've got to get that dialysis, several times a week. And I'm supposed to have a special diet. That's kind of tough when there's no power.
Boy, no kidding. Hey, Bill, we're coming to the end of it. Jump to the end of the story. What happened?
What happened was we reached out to a preferred vendor of ours who happens to be based here in Memphis about the possibility of transporting a generator, to this guy. And one thing led to another. And they called me about four hours later and said, the generator has been delivered and installed. Don't worry about it.
Awesome. So, touchdown. We are out of time. Bill Catlett, perfect place to end this on a happy, happy note. Thank you.
In order to see it.
Hear that? That's the sound of a house being trashed while a gang of thieves ransack the place. And what they don't steal will be destroyed.
This year, resolve not to be the next victim of a break-in. Go to faketv.com and discover a device that creates the illusion someone inside is watching TV, even when you're miles away. Security is a mindset, and Fake TV should be part of your security solution. Be vigilant, but not fearful. faketv.com.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, the inventor of My Pillow, and like all of you out there, I had problems sleeping. Pillows would go flat, I would flip-flop all night long, I would wake up with a sore neck, maybe a headache, or feel like I needed a nap even though I slept 8 hours. When I invented My Pillow, I wanted it to where you could move the patented fill to give you the exact support you need as an individual, regardless of sleep position. My Pillow will get you into that deep REM sleep faster, and you will stay there longer. It's not about how much time we spend in bed, it's about how much of that quality sleep we get. I do all of my own manufacturing right here in the United States. I have a 10-year warranty. You can wash and dry my pillow, and I give you a 60-day money-back guarantee, so you have nothing to lose. And here's my best offer ever. You can buy one of my pillows and get one absolutely free.
Go to MyPillow.com or call 800-870-0305 and use promo code GCN. That's MyPillow.com or 800-870-0305 with promo code GCN.
The answer to being in control of your own healthcare is freedom from insurance. Become part of a group of self-pay patients that come together to share in each other's medical expenses. Individual share amounts begin at $107 a month and $347 for families. Choose from three health sharing programs. Holistic treatments may be eligible for sharing. See guidelines. Discount programs available for dental, vision, and pharmacy. Go to libertyoncall.org. That's libertyoncall.org.
What would your life be like if you woke up each morning with new vitality, feeling better than you have in years, and you noticed a difference in your sleeping patterns, blood sugar levels, and had a sense of well-being overall? There's something that is changing thousands of people's lives, and you could be one of them. It's called Heart and Body Extract. Sharon Harris, co-creator of Heart and Body Extract, talks about the positive effects of Heart and Body Extract.
What happens with the formula Heart and Body Extract is it's giving the body the necessary vitamins, minerals, amino acids, enzymes, and phytonutrients so the body will heal itself. And yes, the body does have the ability to balance blood pressure, balance cholesterol, clean and unclog the arteries. It can also work on balancing the circulation for diabetics. So the body is an amazing thing. It simply needs some help so it has the tools to heal itself.
Heart and Body Extract gets results. To order your 2-month supply, call now, toll free at 866-295-5305. Order online at hbextract.com.
Morning breaks, you'll creep back to the attic. Hearing out the tiny light with avid eyes, hoping that someday you'll let it go.
Such a pleasure to bring onto the show clinic forensic psychologist Dr. John Huber. You know, we talk about how we don't talk about mental illness enough in the United States. And finally, we're starting to do that more. And on this show, anything I can do to shed a light on any aspect of it, I absolutely am available to do that. And I've told many, many people that. And today we're going to talk about anxiety, irritability, and that the fact that that might be one of the first warning signs of depression in kids. Doc, thanks so much for coming on.
Well, Kate, thanks for having me on. I'm glad that you're doing this. This is what we need.
So talk about that. Why is that one of the first warning signs, and how can you tell?
Well, kids in general, you know, they can understand everything we say, but they're learning how to talk still. They don't have the kind of vocabulary that we have, and they don't understand their emotions, so it comes out in agitation. They know they don't feel right, so they pester other people and stimulate confrontation. And a lot of times it even shows up like they have attention deficit hyperactivity disorder.
Wow. So you have to, as a doctor, you have to try to differentiate between that. That's got to be tough sometimes because there must be some similarities.
Oh, definitely similarities. You know, we're always looking for that irritability with depression anyhow, even in adults. But when kids can't vocalize what's going on, it's really hard.
So as a doctor, what do you do to try to pull that out of kids?
Well, you know, a lot of it has to do with the age and developmental maturity of kids. When I'm doing therapy with kids, if you walked in, you might be surprised to find me on the ground coloring on the floor with my patients and playing blocks and Lincoln Logs and trying to get them to express themselves in ways that is easier for them to do that.
Yeah, and that's a tried and true kind of therapy, isn't it?
Definitely, definitely. It's why when you're looking for a therapist for a child for this situation, you need to find somebody who actually has training and experience working with kids and adolescents.
So how can you tell, what are some of the warning signs that you might have a child at any age level that might be depressed?
Probably the big three are changes in sleep, changes in their appetite, and then that social withdrawal. They're just not playing with the friends they normally play with, or they isolate themselves completely.
Wow. So social withdrawal, changes in sleep, changes in appetite, definitely warning signs. What are the
right.
some of the reasons why kids typically get depressed? Is it peer pressure? Is it something that's chemical? Is it a combination?
It's a combination. The same types of things that get adults depressed work with kids, too, only on their kind of a world. I mean, you have a young 5-6-year-old child, and their universe is the kitchen, the living room, and their bedroom. And all of a sudden, you put them in the daycare or school, and now they've geometrically increased their world. And little things can cause stressors for them at that point that can overwhelm them.
Yeah, so what are some of the little things? Changes in the environment, because all of a sudden their world, like you mentioned, was the home, and now, boom, they're catapulted into a daycare where they've got other kids around them, activity, and having to try to meld into that and waiting to be picked up and whatnot.
Well, yes, and then they find their friend, and, you know, it's maybe their first friend outside of family, and all of a sudden a new player comes in, another child comes in, and he's having to share time, or she's having to share time with that person. And it's like, wait, they don't like me anymore. Why do they have to have another friend? And they're not developmentally mature enough to comprehend that situation as adults are, or even adolescents in some level.
Yeah, makes sense. We're speaking with Dr. John Huber. He is a professor and teaches undergraduate and graduate psychology at Texas State University. So if a parent's in this situation, how can they help their kids who feel sad or seem like they're always sad?
Well, communication. That's the first step. Put your cell phone down, put the iPad down, get them off the iPad, get them off their cell phone, you know, if they've got one, and talk to them and start a conversation with them and find out what they're thinking and feeling as best they can express it.
Yeah, you're the chairman also, by the way, it's worth telling everybody this for sure, for Mainstream Mental Health, which is a nonprofit that brings positive change to the lives, that's the goal, to lives of people who suffer from mental health issues. So what are some of the things that you've been able to do with Mainstream Mental Health?
Well, right now we're doing a lot of education and trying to get people to address the fact that every one of us has to deal with mental health issues at some point, whether it's ourselves or a family member. Looking at the U.S. data from the U.S. government, 1 in 5 of us meets the criteria for some sort of diagnosis. Unfortunately, only about 1 in 4 of those individuals actually get help. So we have to deal with it every day at work, when our families get together at holidays, and if we don't talk about it, we're not going to be able to deal with it successfully.
Yeah, and you heard me mention that at the top. I can't do enough to shine a light on that because I see that, as you say, 1 in 5, and then maybe 1 in 4 get help. That is a staggering statistic, I have to tell you that, Doc. And why probably people don't get help is because maybe they don't have access, they don't know who to reach out to, they don't think they can afford it, or they don't want people to know. The not wanting people to know, I would think, would have to be pretty high on some people's lists.
Definitely, definitely the stigma associated with that. But what we need to realize is, you know, this is considered, you know, part of your health care records and stuff, so they're not going to actually know unless you come out and tell people. It's between you and your caretakers, your physicians, your psychologists, and your therapist and your family. So we should treat it like we would getting pneumonia or the cold.
I totally agree. And it seems to ratchet up, and I'm sure for kids as well, because that's where we started. When you talk about children and anxiety and irritability and all of that, it has to, I would assume, get maybe worse over the holidays. Does it?
Yes. I mean, think about it. You're getting ready to immerse yourself in the people who know you the best. And if you've got a sibling or a cousin who likes to tease you about something, they know all the right words. They know all the right buttons. And so it's not always a good thing to take a break from the school stressors or those social stressors that we have to deal with on a normal everyday situation.
Yeah, boy. I think it's wonderful what you're doing. Keep it up for sure. Dr. John Huber, again, trying to really raise an awareness, and check out mainstreammentalhealth.org. Thanks for being with us on America Tonight.
Thank you very much. I really do appreciate that, Kate.
Wow, so I think it's good. I think it's important. I really mean this. I've seen this with people I know. I have several friends who have come to me and have been dealing with something that they haven't told very many people about. And I think it's good to reach out to the people around you, like when you're not feeling right, and tell them, let them know, so that you can get help. And it's not a persistent thing that's gnawing away at you and eating at you and, you know, causing you problems. I'm very happy to say that we're starting to talk about this more, and I think it's super important, especially, you know, here we were talking a lot about kids and what were the warning signs, and it makes sense. All of a sudden you're in one place and you're foisted into school, and I can't even think back. I'm thinking back to what it was like when you, and many of you remember this, when you first went to school, and you could say, well, buck it up, but it's so different now. And I think the ability to see those signs and to help a child or grandchild or whoever it might be, it's so vital when they're younger. Because if you can nip this and work on it when somebody's younger, imagine how much healthier they would be as adults. And that's part of the problem, because of that what happens to you as you're young, what forms, what goes on when your children in those key years, 1 through really 6, and how you pull that into adulthood. So imagine if you're suffering from something like depression, and you're young, and very young, and you have high anxiety, and you have high irritability, but people slough it off as kids will be kids, and that's the way it is, and they're not paying attention to those signs. I think if you could pay attention to those signs at the younger age and have the ability to treat that, again, I'll say that, I think it makes the leap into adulthood a little bit different than when it goes unnoticed and kind of flies under the radar, if you will. So hopefully a lot of people were able to get something out of that. Go to mainstreammentalhealth.org.
If you know Kate Delaney, then you know that her lovable golden retriever, Mahalo, makes her world go around. So when Kate started looking for a high-quality dog food for him, she settled on Life's Abundance, the all-stage grain-free food. It's rated 5 stars by Dog Food Advisor, and that's a win. In fact, Kate loved the food so much that she's now repping the food at kateskibble.com. It's full of high-quality protein and nutrients, omega-3s and more. Kateskibble.com is just what Mahalo needs to be happy and healthy. Grab a bag at kateskibble.com.
It's a no-brainer. A Big Berkey water filter is the one you need, period. You need a water filter that removes chlorine, fluoride, pharmaceuticals, BPA, and other endocrine disruptors, pesticides, bacteria, viruses, and much more, right? And does it all at only 2 cents per gallon. Get the original and most trusted name in gravity water filtration, Big Berkey. And now GCN listeners receive 5% off ceramic filter systems using code GCN. Call or click 1-877-99-BERKEY or BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. That's 1-877-99-BERKEY.